Welcome. We're so glad that you are here today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we open up his word together. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your word is quick, powerful. It's alive. And so, Lord, plant it deep within our hearts. And thank you, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon us today, Lord, as we go through this study together on Pentecost in Jesus' name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen, amen. So the Spirit had come and the church was born. And so today you could kind of say that today is the church's birthday, or it's in this general time frame. That the Holy Spirit was poured out. And birthdays are a big deal, right? Yes, and we're going to sing happy birthday at the end of the service to those who have June birthdays. But birthdays are a big deal, and there are certain birthdays that are like milestones. You know, when your child has their first birthday. How many remember when their children had their first birthday? Especially your first child. You just couldn't wait. I just could not wait to celebrate Lisa's first birthday. She was actually born on Father's Day. And so she made Leonard a father on Father's Day that year. And the next year round, I just couldn't wait to celebrate her birthday. And you know, she could care less that it was her birthday. Did you ever notice that? It's like, and you get them all these great presents and stuff, and they just like the paper and the bows, and they're putting them on their heads, and just, it's just, but it's a big deal, right? Number one birthday. So it's something that today is the birth of the church. And maybe we don't think about Pentecost in that way because we do get focused on the Holy Spirit being poured out, which is important, but it is the birth of the church itself. And so, just to give a little background before we go into our scriptures, we see the disciples are gathered together in the book of Acts, minus Judas, of course, and Jesus is with them, and he's giving them some final instructions. And he tells them to go and wait until they're endued with power from on high that would come to them and that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he also tells them that because of this, they will be witnesses, his witnesses, and testify about him to the very ends of the earth. And then Jesus ascended up and out of his sight. And so we're going to read this account in Acts and going to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and they'll be up on the screen if you want to read along. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Verses 7 to 9. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will go will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So after Jesus ascends, the disciples are caught just staring up into heaven, and an angel essentially shook them a little bit and said, hey, you need to get going. Don't just stand here. You have work to do. And so they all head back to Jerusalem. Around 120 of them were all gathered together. And at this time, Peter leads the group to replace Judas, and Matthias is chosen as the 12th apostle. All this is the backdrop for what is about to happen next, which is an absolutely one-of-a-kind event in human history that forever changed the world. Tell your neighbor, it changed the world forever. The event is the birth of the church, which we recognize annually in the celebration of Pentecost. So first and foremost, we see at the beginning of Acts chapter 2 that the church was created by God. And so Acts 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So as I said before, the church being born is a big event that changed the world forever. And the formation of the church was on God's mind from the very beginning of time. And you might remember in Matthew 16, Jesus talked about the church, and he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You see, Jesus already knew the plan of God, and that was that he would give his life, the scripture says, for the church. For the church. So, you know, starting a church wasn't something that was on the apostles' minds. They weren't like mapping it out and planning it and having team meetings, committee meetings, trying to decide how they were going to plant this church. They were going about doing the last thing that Jesus instructed them to do. And I think that's a good word for all of us, because we can get caught up with all of this way out here when we haven't even done the last thing Jesus instructed us to do. He told them to go and wait until they're endued with power from on high. And as they waited on the Holy Spirit, the scripture says, suddenly there was this sound from heaven, and it was like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Can't even imagine what that was like. But we know from this account, these things that you see up on your screen, that God started the church. God created the church. God brought the church into being, and it's his church, not ours. And we are just a part of it. And it's essential that we realize that. We're a part of the church. You know, there was a saying that went through the body of Christ for many years that people would say, I am the church. Well, really, you're not. When you think of the church of Jesus Christ, and Bishop says when he's talking about the universal church, it's the big C church. And when he's talking about the local church, it's the little C church. You are not a church by yourself. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And so together we form the body of Christ. Together we are the church. Together we have everything that we need to function to fulfill God's will here in the earth and to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I just want to read a little bit from Bishop's book, and I didn't put everything up on the screen, but this book is The Final Reformation and Great Awakening. This is an excellent book. I would encourage every member of the River of Life to read this book and understand Bishop's teaching. Bishop is a prophet to the church. He's an apostle to the church. He has established truths within his teachings that show the restoration of the church. If you'll read this book, and we need to do another class on this book, Prophets and the Prophetic Movement. We were getting ready to do a class on this when COVID hit. But this is an excellent book about the restorative truths that God has brought back to the body of Christ, because during the Dark Ages, all of that was taken away. And God has been at work restoring his church. It's all about the church, because God uses the church to establish his kingdom here upon the earth. And so it's important that we understand what the church is and what the function of the church is. But anyway, from Bishop's Final Reformation and Great Awakening. And by the way, the first Reformation was when Martin Luther nailed the thesis to the door. Okay, so everyone was Catholic, and when he did that, he was protesting the Catholic Church. So you have two groups. You have the Catholic and the Protestants, the protesters. Okay? And so often Bishop just tells us, if somebody asks what denomination you are, he said everyone is either Catholic or Protestant, because all of the other denominations came after that. Okay? All right, so I'm reading from Bishop's book. God could not find a man who could fill his next major purpose to bring redemption and reconciliation of man back to God. Therefore, God sent his Son, his own Son, to become a mortal man. Jesus became the only human to be fathered by God himself. Adam was created by the hand of God, but Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. God's perfect man, the only sinless man to ever live, became the perfect and only acceptable sacrifice for the redemption of man. Through the man, Christ Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, a new creation of humankind was brought into being. And now I want to share the scripture from 1 Peter, because in the next paragraph, Bishop is referring to this verse. So I want to read this to you in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. It says, but you are a chosen generation. He's talking about you. Tell your neighbor, he's talking about me. Okay, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so Bishop goes on in his book and he says, a people who were not a people now become the people of God. They become a new race upon earth called the church race. The only way to become a part of this new race is to be born again, not by a natural birth, but by a spiritual birth. By believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again, a person receives Christ into his or her life, becoming born again and a new creation in Christ. We've been studying this. All things pass away. All things become new. When a person becomes a new creation by being born of God Almighty, becomes their Father. Your Father is God Almighty if you've been born again. And Jesus Christ becomes their Lord and Savior. They are baptized into a body of anointed believers called the Ecclesia, or the church. Other names for this new creation race of special called out people and believers are members of the body of Christ, Christians, and the saints. So church, when we're born again, we belong to the church race. So as I said, basically, every Protestant, every person is a restoration person. Every one of us. In other words, we are a member of a church denomination that came into existence because of a restoration movement. In this blue book, Bishop goes through all of the restoration movements and what was restored doctrinally back to the church. And he also goes through what was restored back to present truth revelation. Every mainline, he says, every mainline Protestant church denomination came into being and exists today because of a restoration movement that has taken place during the last 500 years. Every mainline Protestant Christian belongs to a denomination that became established because of a major restoration movement. So each one of the doctrines of Christ was restored back to the church. And just to give you an idea, in the 1950s for the fivefold ministry, in the 1950s, the evangelist was restored back to the church, deliverance evangelism. In the 1960s, the pastor was restored back to the church, and that's the charismatic renewal. In the 1970s, teachers were restored back to the church. The faith movement came, faith teaching movement. Many of you, if you've been a Christian for very long, probably remember these stages. In the 80s, the prophets were restored, the prophetic movement. And in the 90s, the apostolic, the apostle movement was restored back to the church. So all fivefold ministries have been restored back to the church. And every member of River of Life Community Church should know that and understand that, because we minister from the fivefold. It's the fullness of God. He gave gifts to men so that the fivefold could teach the church how to do the work of the ministry, because all you saints out there, you're called to do the work of the ministry. And your pulpit is wherever you're at. And you see, when the church was born, this was the whole idea, that they would take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So that on Pentecost, the church is born for the purpose of communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus went about teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So the church was God's idea from the beginning. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is God's plan for sharing the gospel of the kingdom. And there's no other plan or purpose of God for how we are to share the good news of Jesus with others other than the church is that plan. From the very beginning, that's why he sent his Spirit, to give us power to be witnesses of him. And so is the church about their business in this world today and even within our nation? Lord, wake up the church to know what our call is. We can get caught up in so many other good works that we're missing the main thing. And the main thing is sharing Jesus wherever you go. The good news of the gospel of the kingdom. So God wants the church to stand for the truth, his truth, and to be unshakable in our presentation of the gospel. There are not many ways to God. There is only one way, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And so being bold as a lion, you know, and like I share, this is from Bishop's book. He says, we are not referring to a local church or some denomination, but to the one universal, many-membered corporate body of Christ that is the church with the big C. We are talking about what Daniel refers to as the saints of the Most High, who shall possess the kingdom and are given governmental power to execute the judgments that are written. The church is given the authority and the power to pray from a heavenly position with Jesus Christ to release his will into the earth. You see, we're seated in heavenly places right now. Your bodies might be here, but the Lord said, come on up, sit with me in heavenly places. Spiritually, we are sitting with Jesus Christ. And as I was praying about that one day, the Lord says, you know, when you're seated next to me, you're going to hear everything I'm praying. Because I never cease to pray for you. And so when you're seated next to me in heavenly places and you hear what I'm praying for the church and for situations, you begin to pray what you hear. When you're seated next to someone, you hear what they're saying. You know, when you're seated next to someone and they start to pray, you're going to hear them praying. Sometimes in this house, you'll hear people praying in tongues. Sometimes you'll hear them praying in English. We pray according to how the Spirit of the Lord directs us. Hallelujah. And so when we're seated next to Jesus, we hear what he's praying. And we have to divinely understand what he's saying, right? By the Spirit of God. This morning as we were worshiping, I saw it so clear as we were singing about his love surrounding us that I just saw it was like this blue iridescent presence that was just wrapping around us, and I saw him lifting us up higher. You've gone to a higher place in the love of God, which is deeper than the ocean, taller than the skies and the heavens. We can't even imagine God's infallible love for each one of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. And thank you, Lord, for the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to communicate the gospel of the kingdom to a lost and dying world. And at Pentecost, the Spirit was given to empower us for that mission. Tell somebody, I've got the power. And if you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, then today's your day. Hallelujah. Let's read on in Acts chapter 2. The early church was filled with the Holy Spirit in order to pour out. God doesn't give us all of this revelation and understanding and power of his presence for us to keep it all to ourselves. Amen. He gives it to us to pour it out to others. So let's read in Acts 2, and we're going to read 5 through 15. We have a lot of scriptures this morning. The word is good for us. Amen. 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 The word is good for us. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own language where we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, oh, they're just full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. So the theme of Pentecost is communicating the gospel of the kingdom. It is really a shame that the whole idea of speaking in tongues becomes such a controversial issue. And when we read about Pentecost, we see that they were given the gifts of tongues and other languages so that the gospel message could be communicated. And I often wonder about this, because were they really speaking in that language, or was the Holy Spirit speaking to them in their head what they needed to understand? Because I've had that happen when I've ministered in other countries, and I've had that happen right here, sitting right there in that section, a Hispanic man that had a friend with him that was interpreting for him as I was preaching, and he told his friend to stop because the Holy Spirit was interpreting what I was saying to him as I was preaching it. And he could say back to her in Spanish what I was saying in English. You see, those are miracles that only the Holy Spirit can perform and do, because his heart, God's heart, is to cause people to understand the gospel of the kingdom and that they can be saved from eternal death, that he's redeemed them from the kingdom of darkness and they have an opportunity to come into the kingdom of light. So the whole mission of the church, once again, I'm going to keep saying it, is to communicate the gospel. And if Jesus wants to give a miracle to do that, then that's his decision to do. And so the scriptures have been translated into many different languages. And how wonderful that the Bibles have been translated. And there's nothing like having a service in your own native tongue. Amen. When you go away and you travel internationally and you're in a foreign country and they're constantly speaking a different language that you don't understand, you know, you just can't wait to get with some folks that will praise God in your language. I understand that. Hallelujah. So thank God that he's used people to translate Bibles, because the gospel must go to the ends of the earth, the scripture says, and then, tell your neighbor, then, the end will come. People wonder when Jesus is going to come. Well, it's pretty clear in the scripture. You know, things look pretty bad. Things look, every day it's something new, it seems like. But we continue to stand with truth. We continue to be encouraged in the Lord, because we know the enemy is already defeated and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So if we are in the church of Jesus Christ, then we are in a safe place. It's like getting into the ark. It's like getting into the ark when the flood was coming. We see this flood coming. We are in Jesus Christ. Christ is in us, and we in him we live and we move about and we have our being. And so being confident of your relationship with God is so important in this time. Every day we're seeing mass shootings. Every day. The devil is loose in the earth. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. We just need to start telling people that is the devil. That is sin. They want to legislate laws, but we know that laws do not change hearts. The only one who can change a heart is Jesus Christ. And that is why we have the most powerful message on earth to take into the world, to the lost, the dying, the hurting, whoever you bump into. You know, you just have these divine appointments, you know, and people will just start talking to you. And my girls used to say, Mom, do you know them? I say, no, I don't know them. They're like, why are they telling you all that? I said, well, that's God. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, they just begin to pour out their heart because Jesus is the answer. You have the answer. When someone starts pouring out their heart to you, you need to be confident that you have the answer. You have the answer. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. And Jesus is the answer for the world today. Hallelujah. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the only way. But as I was studying this, you know, we need to get the word out to people. And I thought about Tim Tebow. Do you remember when Tim Tebow put John 3:16 under his eyes? For God so loved the world that he gave. He put that scripture reference. Does anyone remember that? In football, when he did that? And they said, I looked this up to find out, and it says, 90 million people Googled that verse that reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Tim Tebow was a target after that. Oh, yeah. He was a target after that. But you know what? He's still going strong. He's still doing amazing things in the kingdom of God. We take a stand. And we keep going under pressure. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't give up under persecution. He gotten thrown into jail. Jails were not as convenient as they are nowadays in our culture. No, he was suffering in prison, but he was not about to give up. He was writing the books of the Bible, hallelujah, while he's incarcerated. Thank you, Jesus. And that's the tenacity, the spirit that we need to have, is we will stand for truth, whether they like it or not. And I'll tell you right now, they don't like it. They do not like it. They do not like it. You see the pushback, constant pushback. But you know what? We take a stand, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. They cannot be prevail. And the more defeated they become, you see, the more they manifest and the louder they yell. Yes. And that's just manifestations of the devil in their lives. And they need to be set free. You know, I pray for their hearts. I pray for their hearts. You know, you pray for these people. They come up on the news, and we need to pray for them. Pray that God soften their hearts. And if he doesn't soften their hearts, then pray that God takes them out of the way and that a righteous leader takes their place. Okay, so we're going to read Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so the commission of the church is to go and make and teach disciples to obey. You know, it's more than teaching the Bible. You can teach biblical principles, but it's another level when you teach people to obey. When you're training and teaching your children to obey, sometimes you have to say it several times, several different ways. Is that right? And sometimes you have to bring a little correction and adjustment behind what you said. Amen? Because parents, if you don't teach your children to obey, they're not going to obey God. Because if they can't obey you, who they can see, how are they going to obey God, who they cannot see? It is so important in family training to teach the children to obey. Hallelujah. God will give you wisdom how to take care of that. So the goal of the church is to establish a unique fellowship equipped for the mission of sharing the gospel of the kingdom. Ephesians 4, 11 and 13, read this with me. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know how God defines success? He defines success by spiritual maturity. That's how God defines our success. And we only get that by working together with a group of people who understand God's word and teaches. Everyone needs to be taught. And you know, you never outgrow that. Tell your neighbor, you'll never outgrow it. We're always, always learning more and gaining a deeper understanding of who God is and his sovereignty. All right, just a few more scriptures and we'll close. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 41. Let's read it together. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Isn't it amazing to see these early Christians, after they first heard the gospel message about Jesus on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 converts, and they were added to the church. They were the first fruits of the church. When the church was birthed forth, 3,000 converts, and all of them understood they were guilty and that they've crucified Christ with their sins. But now they repented of their sins, and they were baptized. They were redeemed, and they were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, they're part of this new family, freed from a life of slavery and darkness. Freed from it. Colossians 1:13-14 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." Woo! "In whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." God forgives our sins regardless of where we came from, regardless of what we've done. He forgives our sins when we repent of our sins. And he doesn't hold it against us, church. So in this new community, it is like nothing that the world can offer. Because this new community of church believers is rooted and grounded in love and generosity. And they're empowered by the Holy Spirit to testify of all the ways to the very ends of the earth. All the ways God has set them free, healed them, delivered them. You know, salvation, we continue to experience our salvation every day. We're a different kind of people. We're a different culture. We're like an oasis in the midst of the desert. We're like a shade tree on a summer day. We're like a cup of cool water when someone is thirsty. We're a place, a church should be a place where people can come and be known but not be rejected, but be accepted and loved by brothers and sisters in the family of God, because we're empowered by God for eternal life together. Those that we have served the Lord with, someday we will live together eternally. The world was changed after Pentecost because the church's influence is on the world, and it ought to be the same today. So today we celebrate the birth of the church at Pentecost, and today we celebrate that God gave us power to share the good news of the gospel to everyone, to the whole world, but also that God loves us and he has given us his life. He delivered us from the hand of Satan. You know, sometimes you wonder how a person can act so terrible and do such horrible things. But when they're under the power and the control of their master, Satan, Satan's their father. Either God is your father or Satan is your father. Those are your choices. And people don't like that harsh truth, but that's the truth. Either you're children of God or you're children of the devil. The scripture says that very clearly. You just don't hear it taught very often. But that's the truth. And so we want to be on the Lord's side. Amen? Amen. And so if you have never asked the Lord to be your Lord and Savior, and I look around and I see all of you and I know you've been born again, hallelujah, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, thank you, Jesus. But if there's anyone listening online who has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, do it today. Do it today. Don't wait another day. The scripture says we have no promise of tomorrow. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your hearts. And so let's go together and pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, for this day of Pentecost. Lord, we celebrate that your church was born. Lord God, that you gave your life for us, that the church could come forth into the earth. Father, we just thank you for every member of River of Life. We thank you for every member of the Big C Church across the world, Lord. We pray that you strengthen us, Lord, that you encourage us, God, that you open up opportunities for us to share the good news of the gospel this week. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your presence in our lives and in our homes. I pray for our homes, Lord, that your presence will fill our homes, that your presence will fill our children's hearts and minds, Lord God, that we will be strong families, Lord, that represent you in the earth. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. And just a reminder, we do still have these testimony books. If you want to pick one up and give it to someone, it's a free gift. It's true life stories of how God has changed lives, healed hearts. And so this is a powerful tool that you can use to just hand to someone and give them this gift. You don't know the difference that it's going to make. Just a word. You don't know. It's like Tim Tebow. He didn't know that when he put John 3:16 under his eyes. How many people would be affected by that? You know, it's just a small thing. But yet it's a huge thing because the Word of God is alive. And it performs what it's sent out to do. And it will change the hearts of men and women. So I encourage you this week, do something for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So let's stand at this time. And before we have our closing song, we're going to sit back down, because if you don't have a June birthday, I won't know who's who. Who has a June birthday? Kathy Bender does, and Angela Moisenko does, and who else? Oh, Tanya does. You're a June birthday. And Sierra? Oh, wow, it's birthday month at your house, huh? Awesome. Okay, so that sounds good. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. Let's do it again. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. All right, that's our birthday song today. All right, now let's stand up. And Becky's going to lead us in our closing song today.
The goodness of God. Thank God for his goodness. Amen. Where would we be Amen. Without his goodness? I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life, and all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. Sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life, and all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. Sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running. Your goodness is running after, running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness all my life you have been faithful. Yes, Lord, you have. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask the elders if they'll come forward at this time, if there's anyone who needs prayer or who came for a prophetic word. Elder Sylvia will be over here and they will minister to you. We thank you for coming out today and God bless your week as you move forward in your duties and responsibilities, and may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and give you peace. And so we go in the name of the Lord. You are released to go unless you need prayer. It was good to see everyone in the house of the Lord today. God bless you and have a wonderful week. And shake hands with somebody. Tell them you love them if you really do.